Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and Tegwith are back, and we are here with another episode of Everything You Need to Know About, and we are talking about Emily Flippin from Survivor 45, who I have just decided, did not discuss this with Tegwith, but I have decided, has the most unnecessarily high target on her back coming into this game when I actually started reviewing what she did on her season. Yeah. When I actually started looking at it in preparation for this podcast, I was like, why do people think that Emily is going to be such a target early on? She really didn't do anything. And she finished seventh place, which is one of the worst placements on this season of 50. So Tegwith, welcome to the podcast. I just had to get that off my chest right away because I couldn't believe it.
I know. It is really weird. And here's the thing. I think that Emily's threat level comes from the fact that she learned. Because here's the thing. We see her as a complete disaster. Episode one would have been the first boot had Hannah not quit. Gets taken under Caleb's wing and realizes, hey, here are some mistakes that I am making and I am going to fix that. And we see her arc throughout the season. And she becomes a player who is able to make big moves while she's maybe not, you know, as loud as she was day one, maybe not as outspoken as she was day one. She's able to think about things critically and make these bigger moves. And so I think the thing that makes her a threat, and I think this would have been the same for Andy had he been on the season, is she is able to learn and grow from her mistakes. And I think that her getting voted out, that's a mistake. She made a mistake. And so going into 50, I think that what that is it's intelligence, because she can learn and grow from her mistakes. And she made a mistake in her season, and now she's going into 50, and in theory is able to learn from that and grow. And I think that's what makes her a big target. That's how I view her, at least why she's a big target for me, at least.
Yeah. I mean, look, her move on Bruce was impressive. And I know we're both big Bruce fans here,
big
right?
Bruce fans.
You over at Survivor now. And then Bruce just like, I remember going to the 44 finale and Bruce was there and he was like, dude, I love you. And that was the first time I'd heard that since like season, 40, season 39. And it just felt good. I was like, damn, we're so back. We're good. And so I love Bruce. But then at the same time, when you watch what she's able to do with Bruce, and we had a tell all with Bruce where he explained kind of why it went down the way that it did. And obviously you have to take tell alls and, everything with a grain of salt, but she was good at building that relationship with Bruce. But Bruce also felt pretty good with other people other than just Emily. And I think that's what ultimately bit him in the ass. However, when she comes back, she's like, that was me. And it really was. It's a 4-3-1 vote. Emily is the reason that Bruce ultimately goes home and he doesn't play his idol. But are we giving her too much credit for that one thing? Like, is it really that impressive that she outlasted Hannah and the love of our lives, Brandon Donlin? and Sabaya, who was seen as a massive threat by that point. Like, I don't really think that it's great what she did. And I'm not trying to take away from Emily, because I really like Emily and I really like her chances. But what I'm actually getting to the point of here is, I think Emily's chances should be better on this season than I think we and a lot of other people are giving her credit for, because we're looking at her as a threat. And I actually think she's going to be a lot lower on the totem pole for a lot of these players, which could really work in her favor.
I think that's also a very good observation, because I think that, like, you know, we talk about some other players or, you know, we look at some other players who did maybe not so great in their original season, Tiffany being an example that I have in my head. And we're thinking of, you know, her getting out kind of early, being kind of on the lower end of the radar. That, I think, is, you know, a good thing when you go into a big season like this, in theory. But I think that Emily has this weird kind of middle ground of where she is, you know, seventh, as you said, voted out, or seventh place, pardon me. But the fandom rallied behind her so much. And I think that's the big thing that you have to remember. How these players going into 50 are viewing each other is not just through their own lens. It's not just how, you know, they meet somebody at a party or, you know, they talk to them online. It's also about how the fans reacted to them, because whether people want to admit it or not, they all want to be a favorite. They all want to be the one that's noticed. They want to be the one that's remembered. And if there's a Genevieve or an Emily or a Christian Hubicki or even an Angelina, where people are still talking about these people and talking about, like, Mother and, like, oh, yes, when her dancing and the wine and all that stuff, Mike White, you know, all of these people, if you see that person on your tribe, you might not want to admit that it's threatening your likability, because you're standing next to somebody. But I do think that is an aspect of this game, because it's not a game happening in a vacuum. It's a game happening where these people know how everyone else reacted to them. You know what I mean?
And I guess that's a fair point to just bring up now. Out of the 12 new era people, who are most people most excited for? It's Emily, because Emily also said, and she told me in person to my face, I'll never play again. Yeah. She's like, I have nothing to gain. Emily, come on. Like, here you are. And she said that all over the internet. She was saying that like crazy, right? She was saying, I have nothing to gain. I'm not going back. And it seemed like she was a long shot to come back and play this game. And yet here she is. Yeah, I think everybody's so pumped, because I feel like Emily and Genevieve, and probably Q to an extent, right, feel like the players that we were sitting here going, they must be on this season. I know Q, for a lot of people, it was so locked in that they were like, he was never not going to be there. But Emily and Genevieve, there were serious question marks around it. And so I think you hit something really specific there, and something that gets a little bit deeper is Emily is a threat to these people, just not necessarily in the way that we might be thinking. Emily comes out, she could easily be fan favorite 2.0. Remember, James Clement gets medevaced in fans versus favorites. He wins fan favorite anyway. It doesn't matter. And he barely does anything that season. But he wins fan favorite because he was so hot coming off of China. And I
literally and figuratively, ayo.
Hey, there you go. Okay. All right. I know we're tagging it. All right. But so James, now you got me all distracted. So now James, though, comes in and he does that. Emily could be in the same situation. There's been a little bit of a gap between her seasons, obviously, but still very fresh in people's minds. And, like, honestly, you see Emily out, people are going to swarm Emily, right? Exactly. She gets swarmed in that legendary status, not maybe to the level of Carolyn, but a lot more than a lot of these new era players. And that's not a shade at new era players, but Emily's at that almost celebrity status. And that could weigh on people's minds for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I, you know, I also think that she has game to bring to the table. Like, she, you know, I've seen her talk on panels, and she definitely knows how to analyze the game. And I definitely think she's bringing a lot of smarts. Obviously, she's a financial analyst. But I do think that she has, like, other things to bring to the table, not just, you know, her fandom, fame, whatever. And I do think that's why she could, in theory, be a threat, even if on paper she didn't do a ton on her season other than make a big target for herself, dodge a bullet, get, you know, under somebody's wing, and then actually make a pretty good move. But then, you know, talk about it too much and do too big of a move. So I just think that it'll be very interesting to watch her surrounded by some other legends and fan favorites. Like, what if she's on a tribe with Ceree? Is Emily going to be the one that has the target, or is it going to be Ceree? If this were a new era All-Stars, I would say that Emily would have one of the biggest targets on their backs of anybody. But because we have some other players like a Suri, like a Christian Ubiggy, like an Angelina, you know, like a who else? Ozzy. You know, I do think that this will help somebody like Emily be able to fade in the background. I don't know that she's necessarily going to fade into the background. I don't think Emily's ever done that in her life, mm-hmm. but I do think that she has, if she's able to really work it, she could figure out a way to make that happen.
Yeah. Emily's too big of a personality to fade into the background. Emily's going to have to push back on that. You know, there's no way she's just going to sit there and say, sure, that's fine. I'm going to play low this time. I think Emily's coming out and I think Emily's going to play this aggressively all over again. So Blake and I talked about this in the Stephanie episode. So just to get to a little bit of statistics here on Emily, she is tied with Stephanie, Jeffra, and Mary as the lowest finish of the highest placing member of a starting tribe in seventh place. So Jeffra, Stephanie, Mary, and Emily all finished seventh, and they were the last remaining person from their tribe. So that's a distinction that you don't necessarily want to have, right? Something, again, this is what I'm talking about. She also, though, how many votes did Emily get against her on her season? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, I feel like she only received, I don't know. My guess would be like somewhere around 10 to 12.
Yeah, you think it would be a lot, right?
Yeah.
Two.
What?
Yeah, right? It's mind-blowing, right? It's crazy. And so she got one when she was voted out, which is a record. She has the smallest ratio of votes to be voted out in Survivor history, tied with Lauren Rimmer, by receiving only one of seven. See, this is the good stuff. McKenna put this stuff together. She did a good job here. And she's the fourth castaway to be eliminated by a single vote, excluding 1-0 votes at three-person tribals, obviously. Lauren from Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, Maddie Pomia from 44, and the Queen from Winners at War. So these are all things that go towards her. What were her two votes? The one that got her out, and when Jay Maya had to revote after Caleb played a shot in the dark.
Oh my gosh.
Because there was no vote.
Because Sabaya voted for Caleb, not for Emily.
Sabaya voted for Caleb, and Brandon's was a 3-0 vote because neither Sabaya or Brandon had a vote.
Right.
So Emily literally, and then Emily cruises at the Brando vote. It's between Brando and Drew. Mm-hmm. She gets the one vote at the Jay Maya, cruises through Sifu, isn't there for the Caleb vote, cruises through Caleb, cruises through Kendra, cruises through Bruce, and then gets her vote. So it's pretty shocking, though, because we have this underdog mentality for Emily. And what you said with 12, I would have been like, yeah, she probably got 6, 7, 8 votes, knowing that's a smaller starting tribe and Hannah's vote. There was no vote. So right. I would think that. But then you start to look at it and you're like, she is an underdog by narrative. And yeah, obviously the Lulus have been very vocal and they're very fun in real life. Like, right. I think I've had all of them on the podcast except Hannah and Sean. I haven't had Emily, but Emily's popped up in the chat, so that counts. But the thing is, like, they've all really said, like, no, Emily did have to change a lot. She did change a lot. But also, she's more of an underdog in narrative than she actually is in execution, because she was not the vote when Hannah went, because Hannah quit. She wasn't the vote when Brandon went, because she didn't get any votes. Yep. And then it was between Caleb and Sabaya, because that tribe was just, pull your hair out. What is wrong with you? That's pretty impressive. And so when you think about that, she had a target on her back from day one on that mat. And yet she didn't start receiving votes until the Mergatory.
Yeah.
On a disaster try. While being not that good at challenges. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. And I think, you know, there's something to be said about being a really big target that first vote, but being so big that it's almost like too obvious. You know, it's like an Andy, an Emily, a Banu, things like that, where it's just like, that's not the thing to do right now, because we can always do that later. And mm-hmm. I feel like if Emily comes in hot again, I feel like the same thing could happen, because you're playing with so many people. That's the thing to remember. If they are split into two tribes, it's two tribes of 12. If they're split into three tribes, it's three tribes of 8. It's two more people than New Era people are used to starting with. And the same, basically the same, slightly fewer than the like old era people are, you know, used to starting with. So I think that there is a way for Emily to even like come out guns blazing and then it end up not being her, because there are so many other bigger fish to fry. And it's like, oh my God, she's playing way too hard. It's so obvious she's playing way too hard yet again. We'll get her later. And I think that's maybe one way that she could potentially save herself in this season 50 with legends and new eras alike. And I think that it's going to be really exciting to see her play. Or did she really learn from her mistakes last time? Will she come in much, you know, softer? Will she? And then I think that is when she will be the bigger threat. If she doesn't play that big personality like she was on 45, I was almost going to say 46, on 45, then I think that's when people are like, oh my God, she's really thinking. Like, she's really, and that's the change that I think could put a target on her back.
Yeah. And so when you look at Emily, she's connected to Dee, obviously, but Dee's the one who pushed to get her out when Dee did get her out, even though Julie's the vote. Julie plays the idol because Dee tells her to and all of that. And that's obviously Dee's winning move, which is for a different podcast. But the Dee connection, I don't think is actually going to matter because they're not going to be on the same starting tribe. And then you figure now they both have to either get to a swap or emerge and things have to play out. And I don't know if that's going to happen. Is Emily connected enough with the rest of the new era in real life to make a run here? Because like I know 45 is a very, very close cast. It's not the case for every cast, but 45, 47, those are close casts. 46, not so much. And so when you look at it, does she have the connections there with the 46ers, Tiffany Q, Charlie? Does she have it with Genevieve? Does she have anything with Joe Camilla or Kyle? Obviously, she doesn't have anything with 49 unless she knew beforehand, which maybe she did. Who knows? But, I mean, she's in New York, right? She's New York.
Right outside of New York. She's, yeah. I think, in, like, Rhode Island or Connecticut or something. So she comes into New York events. So I've definitely seen her at events, but she also leaves a little bit earlier because she has to get home. Like, she doesn't live in New York City, so she has to get home. And so I think that, like, there's a very good chance that she maybe, you know, because she doesn't live in New York, maybe she goes up to Boston events and like, we'll talk with Charlie. I could see her and Charlie working together. I could see Emily and Charlie working together. I could also see Genevieve and Emily working together, or it's one or the other. There's no middle ground. It's either they are really tight allies or they are going for each other's throat immediately. Mm-hmm. That's how I view that relationship between Emily and Genevieve. But I think you're right. Like, she's not super close with Jonathan. The 49ers, no one really knows about. So maybe she knew who they were. Maybe she didn't. The 48ers, like, maybe. But I could see potentially, like, Camilla and Kyle, but probably not Joe, because Joe is with his family. Never really came over to the East Coast. So that is a very good point. Where are those connections? But then maybe if she is on a tribe where she doesn't have truly any connections, that might work to her advantage. Mm-hmm. Because then if she were with Dee, that would be, I think, a power couple and a very, because they are good friends in real life. And so I do think that, you know, if she is alone, she might be able to work with people and really use what she learned from 45 to her advantage. But I think you're right. There aren't any obvious new era connections other than 45 that, you know, I can think of.
And I know that there's like a lot of these new era, the conversation is, well, we already saw what they did. What are they going to bring that's different? And Emily's one of those where people are like, what is, we've saw her whole story. Andy was how people felt with that. But with Emily, what I find interesting is exactly what I find with Joe, which is this is a person now who has to play a different game. They can't play the same game. And I think that's fascinating, right? There's a lot of players like Ozzy has pretty much played the same game four times. Emily can't do that. She has to play differently. And so when you look at this, she can't just be loud and under the radar and, oh, I'm going to get under somebody's wing and everybody's going to do this. She has to make relationships. And I think she's a much better social player than people give her credit for, because I do think that everybody on that season really likes Emily, at least from what I understand. So, but I want to look at the old schoolers. And I just, you know, you don't have to do this quick or fast, whatever you want to do. But like, does she work with Jenna Lewis?
I think Jenna Lewis is such an enigma, because we haven't seen her in such a long time. I've never met her at any parties. I've never seen her advertised for any parties. Like, I don't know if people are close with her. I think that she's a hard one because I just don't know, which I think might be why they work together. Because I think Emily, you know, you think back to when she was, you know, when she was on that flotilla with Bruce, or the barge with Bruce. And, you know, she says what she says. I do think that, like, she's interested in somebody like the, almost like the unknown, because at least the unknown could work to your advantage and not work against you. Whereas sometimes some of the knowns might be like, oh, well, I know this about this person and this about this person, and I cannot work with that. So I could really see Jenna Lewis and Emily working together because of that, like, unknown almost.
Yeah. That's a good point, because I look at this and I say, like, I don't see her working with Ozzy. I don't see her working with Colby. But also, if I'm Emily, maybe the most interesting thing you can do when you walk on that island, if you're on Colby's starting tribe, is walk up to Colby and be like, hey, Colby, I really like you. You want to work together? And Colby's going to be like, sure, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
That could be a smart move. But, like, if do you think that the producers would do this? If she's on a starting tribe with Coach, Emily and Coach.
Oh, God. one of them will dies. One of them dies. That's the only way that will, you know, continue forward. No way. I don't see. Here's the thing. Emily does not have time. She does not have the time for any kind of silly nonsense. So I really feel like Coach and Q, if Emily is on a tribe with either of them, it's not going to, Emily's going to be unhappy. Because it just doesn't have the time for any kind of, like, cue skirt or, you know, playing hide and seek or, you know, whatever it is. But I think that, like, somebody like an Ozzy or a Colby could, she could work with somebody like that. But I just don't, a Coach. I mean, I would love to be proven wrong. Oh my God. Dream alliance, Coach and Emily. Like, that would be,
I'd be awesome.
It'd be crazy, but I just don't think I see it happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Emily's best case scenario, though, is either Chrissy or Aubrey, because they'd both be seen as bigger threats, but I think also play a similar game. And I think Emily, she's 30. Aubrey's not that much older. I think Aubrey's 39, but it's like Emily's 30. I think Chrissy might see, like, a little bit of a younger self there. And I think Aubrey and her play a similar, like, strategic, under the radar, we're a little nerdy, like, kind of game. So one of those two, and I think her best male counterpart would be Devin's. Like, I think Devin's getting out there with her. I think Devin's and Emily could really get along because they're both kind of, like, bantery. And I think that could work. Now, Devin's, I've said Devin's is going to be the winner of the season at this point. I've just convinced myself because I feel like he's the most connected and he's, like, not really threatening, but, you know, it's just,
yeah,
it makes sense. But I think that Emily would be better off with that grouping, even more than a Mike, a Christian, or an Angelina. Like, maybe she works with Christian, but if she goes and works with Christian and I'm on that island, I'm looking at them going, those are the threats. Let's vote those two out. We don't need this.
It's so fun that they isolated the threats together. That's perfect. Yeah. Now we know who to vote for.
6-2, 6-1, Bible.
Yeah.
Both of you. Yeah. That's the end of that game.
Yeah, I also think I said this earlier in the pod, I really do think that I could see Emily working with Charlie. I think there's something about that dynamic that I think would be very interesting, where I think Charlie would like to listen to Emily's ideas and vice versa. I think they would be able to work well together. I think they are both pretty intelligent and have, I don't know, different enough ideas of the game to where they bring something interesting to the table. It's not just, like, copy and paste the same person playing the game. But I do think that they kind of, at the end of the day, would be able to compromise and work together in that way. And I think those two working together would be very interesting, and I could definitely see it happening.
Yeah. Emily has a lot of avenues, and Charlie has a lot of avenues for sure. Yeah. These starting tribes are going to be fascinating when they drop, and they might have already, again, we're putting these out in a different order. I say that every podcast, but, like, they could have already dropped. I'll have a tribe reaction video when it comes out. So you might hear my tribe reaction going, Charlie and Emily, oh my God. And then you hear this podcast and you're like, they already talked about this, but that's just what I'm seeing though at this point, is like Emily has a lot of avenues, but she could get with the wrong group, like a Joe, Coach, Jonathan. That's a nightmare for Emily. And I don't think that they would put Joe and Jonathan on the same tribe, but that's a nightmare for Emily for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think that I don't think that she would necessarily work well with, like, Stephanie Lacina.
Or LaGrosa.
I'm sorry.
You combine Sarah Lacina.
Oh my God. Stephanie LaGrosa. One person.
The internet just exploded. Thanks.
Stephanie Lacina. That's so funny. I didn't even clock that. That is so funny. Stephanie LaGrosa. The dyslexia coming out to play. So I don't see those two working well together. It would be very compelling TV if, like, say the tribe is a Stephanie, Emily, Kyle, whatever else. Like, I think that like seeing Stephanie and Emily would be very interesting, but I just don't think that they would ever work together that well. But I do think it'd be good TV.
Yeah. All right. You have anything else we need to know about Emily?
She's mother. Give her some wine. I don't know.
I know everybody wants Mike White and Emily drinking wine. That's all. That's all.
That's not a reward. If they're both in there at like Merge or something, and that's not a reward, and they don't go on that reward together, I'm rioting.
Season 50 is a bust. All right. Yes. Well, thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Let us know in the comments what you think about Emily and her chances on this season. And we'll be back next time with another episode of Everything You Need to Know About Whoever's Next. I don't know. Somebody's next.